We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
All right, our summer series for June and July is the seven-story gospel. And we've been through two installments. We have throughout the remainder of June and July to go through this. I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy it very much. And the reason we're doing this is because the gospel is a story. Not only is it a story, it's the story. It's the story of God's rescue, restoration, redemption of humanity through Jesus Christ. And the fullness of the gospel cannot be told. The fullness of the gospel cannot be told in principles or formulas or laws or bullet points or skeleton outlines. It takes a story. It takes story to tell the truth of the gospel, because the gospel in truth is a story. As we like to say, the gospel is the supreme story that all the great stories are trying to tell. So whenever you find a great story in a novel, in a movie, in a play, on television, something you just hear somebody tell, every time you encounter a great story, recognize that you have found a story where the gospel is trying to get out. It may only be there as a seed, but it's there. Because the gospel is the supreme story that all the great stories are trying to tell. We've also learned that as storytelling people, we tell our stories. That's what we are as humans. We are the stories we tell. We are the stories we hear. We are given the gift of language that we might tell our stories. Amen. But we've learned that for the millions and millions of stories that we tell and hear, there are really only seven plots, seven arrangements of stories. That's what I'm talking about in this series, the seven-story gospel. There's the plot, or the story of overcoming the monster, rags to riches, the quest, voyage and return, tragedy, comedy, rebirth. We've already looked at the story plot of the gospel as overcoming the monster. Amen. Last Sunday, we saw the gospel as the ultimate rags to riches story. And on this Sunday, on Father's Day, we are going to look at the gospel through the lens of the story of the quest. The gospel as the quest. Everybody say, the quest. Now, you know this story, whether you realize it or not. In fact, the quest may be the most recognizable plot of all of the stories. It's the story, it's the movie, it's the book, it's the play, where we learn that far away, it's almost always far away, that far away there is some priceless goal worth any effort to achieve. So it's the search for the buried treasure. It's the search for the Holy Grail. It's the search for the Ark of the Covenant. It's the search for King Solomon's mines. You know, you've heard all of those stories. And its central aspect is the journey that is entailed in this quest. So it's the search, the journey to the celestial city in Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody read Pilgrim's Progress? It's the journey to the Emerald City in The Wizard of Oz. It's the perilous journey from the Shire to Mordor, to cast the ring of power into the cracks of doom. In the Bible, the quest story is Israel coming out of their slavery in Egypt and then embarking upon a long and perilous journey into the promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. That's the quest as the plot. But I want to make sure you're getting it, so I want to show you four movies in 2 minutes. Four movies in 2 minutes, all four movies are built around the plot of the quest. And so to get it established in your thinking what we mean by the quest, here's four movies in 2 minutes.
Thank you. in Kansas anymore.
Oh, we're off to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
I am Oz, the great and powerful.
You see that? That's how much longer you've got to be alive. And it isn't long, my pretty. It isn't long.
I have no interest in prisoners.
Kill them all.
Let us hope that our presence may go unnoticed. They are coming.
Wish the ring had never come to me.
Back, you devil!
Back, you devils. Well, that's the quest story plot. It's Frodo. He's got to take this ring from the Shire, where a great shadow has fallen upon all of Middle-earth. He's got to get to Mordor, throw it into the cracks of Doom. It's Indiana Jones. He's got to find the Ark of the Covenant before the Nazis do. It's Dorothy. On her way to the Emerald City, following the yellow brick road on the quest. It's who Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy in their journeys through Narnia. That's the quest. Now, four things are always present in a quest story. First of all, there's, number one, the call. Usually works like this. Something is dreadfully wrong. Something is so wrong with the situation that the hero is going to have to leave home, go forth on a journey, a great quest, to do something that will set the world back right again. Or a great opportunity has presented itself, and our hero must go forth in order to seize that opportunity. But remember this. Remember what Bilbo Baggins taught us. It's a dangerous thing to step out of your door. You set foot upon the road, and if you don't keep your feet, you never know where you might be swept off to next. Second thing about the quest, and this is very important. In all quest stories, there are companions. They never go alone. If it's a quest plot, there may be a central figure, but nobody goes it alone. So Dorothy is the central figure, but come on, she's got Scarecrow and Tin Man and Cowardly Lion, and don't forget, Toto plays important roles in the story because you have to have your companions, and Frodo has Samwise. He's got a whole Fellowship of the Ring, but when it comes right down to it, who he really has is Samwise Gamgee. And remember Samwise, very early on, Samwise reaches a point where he just stops. They're in that field and he stops, and Frodo says, "What's the matter?" And he says, "If I take one more step, this will be the farthest I've ever been from home." And that's when Frodo says, "Well, remember what Bilbo Baggins taught us, it's a dangerous thing stepping out your door. You have to keep your feet, because if you're not careful, you never know where you'll be swept off to." Well, even in Don Quixote, that's a quest plot. Even in Don Quixote, he's got Sancho Panza, his loyal sidekick. There's always companions in a quest story. Third, there's the journey. That's what the real story is about, is the journey. That's what makes it a story. And it's always a perilous, difficult journey, or else it wouldn't be a story. It's not just a walk down a sidewalk. It's never easy. It's fraught with hardship and there's monsters and obstacles to overcome, but then there's also the temptations to overcome. There's the sirens. There's the things that would call them back. There's what? There's in Wizard of Oz, they find themselves in that field of poppies falling asleep and thus being tempted to abandon the journey. There's in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, what is the great temptation that Edmund succumbs to? Turkish delight, yes. See, there's always a temptation to abandon the quest. The sirens and all of that. Finally, there's the goal. And it always seems to happen through most miraculous escapes from death. The goal is finally reached. The treasure is found. The world is saved. The ring of power is destroyed in Mount Doom or something like that happens. But there's always this little twist that what has happened along the way actually may be more important than the stated goal itself, because what has happened is people have been transformed by the journey. That's always a big deal. We don't want to see it. See, Scarecrow wanted brains and Tin Man wanted a heart and Lion wanted a courage, but they actually found those things along the way. On the journey, Scarecrow got his brains and Tin Man got his heart and Lion got his courage. It didn't really come from the Wizard of Oz. It came from the journey itself. That's the surprise of the story. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the new Christians in the churches that he is founding there in Asia Minor. He says, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations, there's going to be hard times. He's saying to these new Christians, all right, you've believed on Jesus. You've been baptized. You call yourself a Christian. Good, now we're started. But remember this, along the journey to bring our lives into a real experience of the reign and rule of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's not dying and going to heaven. It's learning to live life the other way under the reign and rule of Christ. The Apostle Paul says to his new believers, look, I got to be up front with you. You've just begun a journey. You're on a quest, but you're going to have to go through some tribulations. There are going to be many tribulations you're going to have to go through if you want to bring your life into the fullness of life experienced under the reign and rule of God. Now, let's review the four elements of the quest with the Christian journey in mind. First of all, we said there's a call. Well, is there a call involved in the Christian journey? Well, of course, that's how we get started. There is something dreadfully wrong with the world, and so we are called to do something about it. That's why the Apostle Peter, in his first sermon there in the book of Acts, he says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. There is something so wrong with the way the world is that, like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, you're going to have to leave the city of destruction and embark upon a journey that will bring you into a new way of living. Or it might just be opportunity knocks. I mean, that's what happens when Jesus says, come on, follow me. What an opportunity you have when Jesus calls you to be his apprentice, to be his disciple, to be his follower. And you've got to make a decision. Am I going to sit in my old life, sit in my house like I've always done, or will I move with him? So there's the call. Secondly, there's the companions. Come on, nobody does it alone. Nobody makes it on their own. You have to go, you have to travel, you have to pursue the quest with companions. The Christian quest can only be done in the fellowship of others. You're going to need a Samwise Gamgee. From time to time, you can't make it. You need him to carry you to the top of Mount Doom, or you need a Scarecrow, or you need a Sancho. It can only be done in community. That's what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. Two is better than one, because if one falls, the other one can help him up. But woe to the one who falls when he's all alone. And so that's why in every quest story you've ever heard, there are moments when the hero fails, but he's got his companions to help carry him on. And that's the way you're going to live the Christian life, or you're not going to make it. And of course, there is the journey, because that is the central aspect of the quest story, and it's through many tribulations. This is not an easy thing. You've decided to be a Christian, but you're going to go into the wind. You're going to go uphill. You're going to go upstream. You're going to go against the grain. There's many things to oppose you, and there's always temptations to go back. That's what Israel found out in the wilderness. They heard the call to go to a land that flows with milk and honey, and they said, sign me up. And they got out of their bondage in Egypt. But once the going got a little bit difficult out there in the wilderness, once there was some tribulations to go through, what happened? A lot of them said, we want to go back. They were tempted to say, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back there and have our leeks and onions in our flesh pots. Remember that. And so they got tempted to go back to Egypt. And then finally, the goal. There is the reaching of the goal for which we set out on the journey in the first place. But here's the open secret of the Christian life. It's not really about the destination, but about the transformation. We set forth because we have this idea that out there is something we've got to get to. But the open secret of the Christian life is that ultimately it's not really about the destination. It's about the transformation that takes place along the way. Because it's on the journey that you're going to find your brains and your heart and your courage. It's the journey itself that's going to produce that in you. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is a chapter of parables. We find one beginning in the 45th verse. Matthew 13, 45. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. It's a quest. Who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. All right, so Jesus tells a story according to the quest model. Here is a merchant. He's a Jewish merchant. Maybe he's in Jerusalem. He deals in fine things and gems and especially in pearls. That tends to be his great specialty. Is that he specializes in the finest of pearls. But he has to go on quests. He has to go on odysseys. He has to go into journeys into the Orient, perhaps, to find these. And he'll go. He's a merchant. He's in this to make a profit. And so he goes forth. He finds pearls. And then he brings them back and sells them at a profit. But one day, he's way out there in the Far East on his odyssey, on his quest. And he comes upon the finest pearl there has ever been. And as an expert in pearls, he knows this is the finest pearl there could ever be. But to obtain this pearl, he's going to have to liquidate all of his assets. He's going to have to sell everything he has. Everything he has amassed thus far must be sold in order to buy this pearl. But he's willing to do it because he knows that if he obtains this pearl, he can then sell it at a price that will make him wealthy for life. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven's like that. That in finding the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God or the reign and rule of God, look, we find something that is of surpassing value. But everything is going to have to be reconsidered to enter into that. We're going to have to give up a lot of our old way, our old life, our old values, our old assumptions, all have to be put up for sale in order that we might really bring our lives in to the full experience of the kingdom of God. It's a quest. Now, you'll often hear this parable referred to as the parable of the pearl of great price. And then you'll hear people say, now Jesus is the pearl of great price. Well, I know what they mean, and they mean well, but he's not. Jesus in this parable is not the pearl of great price. The kingdom of God is. Jesus is not the object of the quest. Jesus is the captain of the quest. See, this is what I haven't told you thus far. Jesus leads you in the quest. He's your Gandalf. He's on the quest with you. But the reason I make this distinction that Jesus isn't the pearl of great price is because the quest for the pearl involves difficulty and challenges and all of that. And finding Jesus is not difficult. You just pray. You ask Jesus into your heart. We say all that, the sinner's prayer. You say, don't you believe in sinner's prayer? Yeah, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me about 25 times a day. Sure, I do. But that's not the same thing as going on the journey. And so, if you say that Jesus is the pearl of great price, and you say, well, yep, I got Jesus. I received Jesus into my life when I was 8 years old. I got it. And you don't think about it anymore. No. The pearl of great price is the real experience of the reign and rule and government of kingdom of God in your life. And you have to constantly be rethinking everything to bring your life into that. And that's why Jesus says, come on now, follow me. That's the call. Don't confuse the call with the journey. Jesus is your Gandalf that says, come on, Bilbo, you're going to have to get out of the Shire and go on this journey. Just meeting Gandalf in the Shire is not the same thing as going on the long journey to Mordor. So Jesus calls you and says, follow me. And then you actually have to go forth and follow him. Right? I mean, 12 years ago. I mean, that's why Jesus said, follow me. And that's why 12 years ago, I said to people, come with me. Come with me. But they find out that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It's not easy. It's not an easy road. Just to sit at home, play video games, and kind of pretend that, you know, you're doing Christian stuff, that's easy. But to really embark upon a journey where you're rethinking and you're having to sell and you're having to overcome obstacles and you're having to overcome temptations, that's a difficult journey, but we believe it's worth it. Because it's Jesus himself that calls us into it. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. If you're not going through some hardships, some difficulties, some challenges, then in what sense do you think you're actually bringing your life into the kingdom of God? A quest is a story that is dramatic, filled with challenges that have to be overcome. And because the journey is so filled with challenges, this journey into the full experience of the kingdom of God, it's why the word of prophecy as inspired encouragement is so absolutely essential. And it's one of the reasons, it's not the only reasons, but it's one of the reasons you come to church every Sunday. Because Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you need the prophetic word of encouragement that you can make it. Press on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Come on, we got to keep following. If you keep following, you're going to make it into what God has promised you. You need that kind of prophetic word of encouragement. Now that brings me to one of my all-time favorite movies. And it may be my favorite comedy. And it's a film that is a comedic version of The Quest. It is a quest plot done in comedic form. And I'm talking about, oh brother, where art thou? Any oh brother, where art thou fans? Well, first of all, I'm just a Coen Brothers fan. I just like their movies. Fargo, Raising Arizona, all of them. I like those Coen brothers. I think they're geniuses. But their names Ethan and Joel Coen, a couple of Jewish brothers, and they just got it down how to make good movies. And then, oh brother, where art thou? We have these, I wrote their names down here. I'm going to have to look. Everett, Delmar and Pete. Does that bring back memories? Everett, Delmar, and Pete, and they're in search of a great treasure. And the trio are prisoners, but they have escaped from the chain gang. And in their flight, they happen upon a blind prophet who speaks important words to them. And I don't know how the Coen brothers were so able to do this, but they really captured the essence and the role of prophecy in our lives. And so I want to show you that little clip. I want to show you the trio of Everett, Delmar, and Pete in chains encountering the blind prophet.
You boys, Smithies. Or, if not Smithies per se, were you otherwise trained in the metallurgic arts before straitened circumstances forced you into life aimless wandering?
Join
you,
old-timer!
Jive me, my son! Jive!
You work for the railroad, Grandpa?
I work for no man.
Got a name, do you?
I have no name.
Well, that right there may be the reason you've had difficulty finding gainful employment. You see, in the mart of competitive commerce...
You seek a great fortune. You three who are nigh in change. You will find a fortune. Though it will not be the fortune you seek. But first you must travel a long and difficult road. A road fraught with peril. Mm-hmm. You shall see things wonderful to tell. You shall see a cow on the roof of a cotton house. And oh, so many starlings. I cannot tell you how long this road shall be, but fear not the obstacles in your path. For fate has vouchsafed your reward. Though the road may wind, yea, your hearts grow weary, still shall ye follow the way, even unto your salvation.
That's good stuff. You seek great fortune, you who are now in chains, and you will find a fortune, though it would not be the fortune you seek. But first you must travel a long and difficult road, a road fraught with peril and pregnant with adventure. You shall see things wonderful to tell, and oh, so many startlements. I cannot say how long this road shall be, but fear not the obstacles in your path, for God has vouchsafed your reward. And though the road may wind, and yea, your hearts grow weary, still shall ye follow the way, even unto your salvation. That's good stuff. In fact, it's so good, I can preach right out of that movie. You watch this. The blind prophet speaks to us and he says, you seek a great fortune, you who are now in chains, and you will find a fortune, though it will not be the fortune you seek. We begin to follow Jesus almost always because we become aware of the chains in our life. Things have bound us. Things have constrained us. We feel like we are prevented from reaching a life of happiness. And so Jesus offers to set us free. And we begin to follow him. And we have in our mind a certain imagination of the fortune we shall find if we follow him. What our life will become like. But though we are seeking a fortune and we'll find a fortune, you will find out that it almost always is not the fortune you thought you were after. Because after all, what salvation is really about is you being saved. Not your destination, not where you're going, but you being saved. It's the transformation that needs to happen to you along the way. We say, well, I'm following Jesus. He's forgiven my sins. And he said he'd give me an abundant life. Life, and that more abundantly. So the idea is that there's some thing out there. There's some thing out there. And we're following Jesus that we might get to that thing out there. But the open secret is that the salvation is what happens to you along the journey. The prophet continues. But first you must travel a long and difficult road. A road fraught with peril and pregnant with adventure. Salvation is not a status. Salvation is a road. Salvation is a journey. Salvation is a path. Salvation is a way. Salvation is the way. That's why the early Christians simply called this thing the way. And it's the hard way. It's a difficult way. It's not easy. If you want something that's just easy, don't start following Jesus. Don't go on the quest as a Christian. Because it's through many tribulations that we enter into the fullness of this life. So it's fraught with peril and it's pregnant with adventure, but it's what we're called to. The prophet continues. You shall see things wonderful to tell and oh, so many startlements. How many of you know about the startlements? things wonderful to tell, and oh, so many startlements. If you have been following Jesus at any length of time at all, you already realize that things have happened that you could never have anticipated. Those are the startlements. You follow Jesus, you'll see things wonderful to tell, and oh, so many startlements. Many of them wonderful, some of them terrible, but what you do is you just lock in and you press on because it's part of the journey. And then the prophet says to us, I cannot say how long this road shall be. And that's what we always want to know. The prophet says, I can't tell you that. I cannot say how long this road shall be, but fear not the obstacles. And you got to say it right, it's obstacles. Fear not the obstacles in your path, for God has vouchsafed your reward. Now, here's two things I can guarantee about the Christian quest. Two things. Number one, there will be obstacles. There will be difficulties. There will be challenges. Number two, I can guarantee this. If you will press on, somehow you'll make it. If you won't quit, if you won't give up, if you'll say by faith, I'm going to keep going, you'll find a way. See, sometimes we confuse beginning the journey with the journey. We say, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I confess Him as Lord and Savior. I get baptized. I'm a Christian now. Ta-da! No, 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 no. That's your first step on the yellow brick road. And you think, well, this isn't so bad. I just got saved and I'm following Jesus on the yellow brick road, and all of a sudden, flying monkeys come out of nowhere. Wicked witches of the West throwing balls of fire, great balls of fire being thrown at you. Obstacles. There's going to be obstacles in your path. Indiana Jones ends up in a pit of snakes, and he hates snakes. Obstacles in your path. I can guarantee you there'll be some obstacles in your path, some difficulties, some things to overcome. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The other thing I can guarantee is that if you will press on somehow, there'll be grace to make it. If you'll just say, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to quit, I'm committed to this thing, I'm going to find a way. You will find a way. Faith will find a way. Faith will make a way. Grace will come through for you somehow. And then finally the prophet says, and though the road may wind, and yea, your hearts grow weary, still shall ye follow the way, even unto your salvation. Ultimately, salvation is not a destination. Salvation is the transformation that happens along the journey. You set off with a fortune in mind. You have an imagination. I want my life to become like this or like that. But the real salvation happens along the journey. And you realize that the journey itself of following Jesus and enduring obstacles and flying monkeys and wicked witches of the West and snake pits have changed me. You got Legolas the elf, Gimli the dwarf. Dwarves and elves don't get along. They don't like each other. And yet, by the end of the journey, they've become the fastest of friends. What has happened? Transformation. Even salvation has occurred to them along the way. And remember what Jesus said all along. He did not say to you, follow me and I will take you. That's how we hear it. Follow me and I will take you somewhere. He didn't say that. He said, follow me and I will make you. That's the Christian quest. We hear the call. Some dire need. Something threatens the world. Some opportunity knocks. We cannot stay at home. We have to go forth. We cannot go alone. We have to go with companions. We're going to need our Samwise Gamgee. We're going to need our Sancho Panza. We're going to need Scarecrow and Tin Man and Lion, and sometimes we even need Toto. We're going to go on a journey. The journey will be difficult. The journey will be hard. But if we don't quit, we'll make it. And finally, we'll reach the goal. But what we find out is that the fortune we went off in search of in the first place is not nearly as valuable as the transformation that has occurred to us along the journey. That's the Christian quest. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ in the frame of the quest story. So here's a prophetic word for you. and your quest. First of all, Jesus is with you. I want you to know that. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you, but most of the time, he's with you through your companions. Think about Lord of the Rings. From time to time, as far as Frodo is concerned, I mean, in that whole, the journey is about Frodo's journey from the Shire to Mordor, destroy the Ring of Power. Gandalf is not with Frodo much of the time. He seems to be kind of aware, but he's not there most. Sometimes he shows up and does his wizardry things. But who's with him all the time is Samwise. And in the great climactic moment of the movie, what happens, the reason that Frodo is able to reach the goal in the first place is that Samwise picks him up and throws him over his shoulder and carries him up. The grace of God is going to be with you. Jesus is going to be with you. But sometimes he's going to be with you in the form of your friends that when you're too weak, he'll throw you over their shoulder and carry you to the top. And that's why the Bible says, woe unto him who is alone, because you won't make it. The grace of God, of the presence of Christ, most often flows through our companions that travel with us. So don't fear the obstacles. They are part of the process of your salvation. And God has guaranteed your reward, though it will probably be different than the one you seek. Follow. Everybody say it right. Follow. Follow the way, even unto your salvation. Amen? And so what do we do now? We do what is the most important thing that we do when we gather together on Sunday mornings. We come to the Eucharistic table. We come to the communion table. We come like this. For many of you, for some of you, this can be the place where you start your journey with Jesus. You say, all right, I'm ready. I feel that Jesus is calling me. I want to follow him. I know it's hazardous. I know it's dangerous. I know it's risky. I know it will be fraught with peril. I know it's through many tribulations, but I want to follow him anyway because he's calling me. I can sense it. I know that Jesus is calling me. All right, then meet him at this table. And let this be your first step on the yellow brick road. Let this be your first step out of the Shire. Let this be your first step as you journey with Jesus. Come and somebody will offer you bread and call it the body of Christ. Some will offer you a cup and call it the blood of Christ. Eat and drink and begin your journey with Jesus. And the rest of you, you come to this table. Why? You come to this table to find strength for the journey. You need strength for the journey. Sometimes we can grow weary. Sometimes the quest is hard and we need strength. And so we eat of this bread and we have the body of Christ. We drink of this cup and we have the blood of Christ. And we find strength in the flesh and blood of Christ himself. And we are renewed to go forth and to continue our quest to bring our lives into the full experience of the kingdom of God with Jesus himself as the captain of our quest. Amen. Stand up with me. Father God, we prepare our hearts now to come to this table. We confess that we are sinners in need of your grace. Have mercy on us and forgive us. We come to this table believing that here at this table we find fellowship with the body and blood of Christ. For this cup of blessing which we bless is the fellowship in the blood of Christ. And this bread which we break is the fellowship of the body of Christ. We come to begin our journey with Christ. We come to renew our journey with Christ. We come to find new strength for that journey. And church, I believe it would be good on Father's Day if we pray that prayer that Jesus gave us to pray, where we learn to call God our Father. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.